Thank you all. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we do ask that your love be written on our hearts and override all of our hurts until we are a people who show your love wherever we go. Amen. You probably won't believe this, but I used to be a really cheap date. Some girls are courted with armloads of flowers, candlelit music-filled dinners, and lots of jewelry, lots of bling. But not me. When Wayne and I were dating, he got by with buck nights at the movie theater, evenings spent looking at his pocket watch collection, and more, I'm not making this up, more than once, he took me to a junkyard. Now that's a cheap date. Now, I have gotten plenty of flowers, I've had lots of very fancy dinners and dates, but when Wayne and I started dating, these were not the sorts of things that he offered. So what in the world was it, after having all that other good stuff, that made me settle for buck nights, pocket watches, and junkyards? What was that? It was love. I loved Wayne, so I cared about the things he cared about. Well, I never really cared too much about the junkyards, but I could put up with it because it was important to him. Because when you love someone, you care about the things that they care about. Your heart becomes like theirs. Several years ago, on one of my morning drives to work, I asked God to make me care about the things God cares about. I asked God to make my heart like His. I want to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. I want to value what God values, hurt when God hurts, smile when God smiles, and weep when God weeps. Because when you love someone, you care about the things that they care about. Have any of you ever done that? Ever asked God to give you a heart like His? I really don't know if I'd recommend that, because I spent the next 18 months or so crying over pictures I saw in the paper of starving children, crying over cancer wards and nursing homes, over broken homes and broken hearts and broken bodies and death and loss and pain. After 18 months of that little experiment of wearing God's heart on my sleeve, I finally asked God just to stop. I didn't want to feel anymore. I didn't want to hurt anymore. I couldn't stand the pain. Today, I think that was part of my preparation and invitation to serving as a pastor, a shepherd, to have that teeny taste of how God feels for us. But you think that was the right thing to do? To ask God to stop, to tell God to close my eyes to those in need and to shut my ears to their cries? You really think that was the wise thing to do? Today, I don't think so. Because God, speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, said this: I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will be my people, and I will be your God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Those words sound to me a little bit like a covenant, sort of like a wedding ceremony. From this day forward, for better or worse, I will give you a new heart, a heart like mine. Because when you love someone, you want them to care about the things that you care about. You want your hearts to be as one. Are our hearts like God's? Do you think maybe we need new ones? You know, many of us have begun preparing for Christmas. The choirs have been rehearsing. Gwen has given me flute music. Many of us have already started purchasing gifts. I'm almost finished. Thank you very much. Some of us are making travel plans. Advent is right around the corner. December the 1st, when you come here that Sunday, we will have begun decorating for Christmas. Advent is that season when we welcome Jesus, the Christ child, the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I believe the Prince of Peace weeps over war. Any war. And while I am very loyal to this country, my husband's salary comes from defense monies. We support this nation, and this nation supports us. While I support and encourage and pray for our troops, some of them I know, I send packages, I pray for those on our prayer list every day, I still believe that if we can face the hard reality of war with anything but tears on our cheeks and anguish in our souls, then we need new hearts. Because when you love someone, you care about the things that they care about. And I believe the Prince of Peace hates war and violence of every kind. Are our hearts like God's? Can we watch the evening news or read the paper without aching over the evil reported there? Are we able to drive past the homeless who are cold now? Often they're cold. If we can drive by without noticing really anything except whether or not our car doors are locked, then we need new hearts. Hearts of flesh. Because hate is not the opposite of love. Apathy is. And if God is love, our scriptures tell us God is love, then apathy is the exact opposite of everything that God is. When we walk past our brother or sister in unresolved conflict, refusing to speak, refusing to meet eyes, refusing to be reconciled, or just settle that one issue that we know is putting distance between us, then we need new hearts. Because God hears the cries of our neighbors, even when we will not. If you know someone who is hurting, and you're not doing anything about it, then you need a new heart. Because when you no longer allow yourself to feel or be affected by the pain of others, your heart has become a stone. If you live in the graveyard too long, you stop crying when someone dies. Sometimes this world is a lot like a graveyard, and most of us no longer even notice. A.W. Tozer said, "The widest thing in the universe is not space. It's the potential capacity of the human heart. Being made in the image of God, our hearts are capable of almost unlimited extension in all directions." And one of the world's greatest tragedies, he says, is that we allow our hearts to shrink until there is room in them for little but ourselves. But God says, "I will take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." God will take our hearts that will not beat for Him and replace them with new ones, so that we will love what God loves and we will value what God values. God will give us hearts like His. Because when you love someone, you want them to care about the things you care about. You want your hearts to be as one. Lovett Weems tells of a pastor who one June goes to a new appointment. In June, sometimes new pastors still don't really know what's going on. And this pastor's first Sunday, the church was packed, just like it was in our church last June. Everybody wants to hear the new guy. Well, it's time for the early service, and they can't find the pastor. One of the ushers finally finds him way back in the office area in his study with the door closed. He's standing looking out the window. And the usher says, we're waiting on you. It's time to get going. And as the pastor turns around, there are tears on his cheeks. The usher felt bad for being mean, and he said, I'm so sorry. Is something wrong? Is someone hurt? The pastor said, no. I was just looking out in the alley at all those dirty little children playing barefoot in the cold. The usher said, oh, I know what you mean. But you'll get used to it. The pastor said, I know I'll get used to it. That's why I'm crying. Crying that his heart would turn to stone. Jesus said, for this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. And then Jesus turns away from those people, and he turns to his disciples. And there, Jesus says, but blessed are you because your eyes see. And blessed are you because your ears still hear. Because when you love someone, you care about the things they care about. Our God is a God of passion. God loves, God hates, God is jealous and can be angry, God weeps, and God sings over His precious people. Dare we be anything less? Dare we be anything less than hearts that beat with His? A couple Thanksgivings ago, my in-laws came to visit. And, of course, in my family, there's always a car thing going on. And so Wayne's daddy is out by the car looking at the engine. And Wayne is out by the car looking at the engine. And Robert is out. All the sights men are out looking at their car. And they're all standing there with their hands in their pockets like the sights men do. And Wayne's mama leaned over to me and said, do you see a family resemblance? As we step into this week of Thanksgiving, this week of extravagant celebration, I pray that we show a family resemblance to our God who loves people who have less, who is a champion of the underdog. May we so align ourselves with God that wherever we go and whatever we do, it is clear that we love the things that God loves. And that we love the people that God loves. I pray you go this week with your eyes open and your ears open to the cries of the needy. And this week, as you share in your Thanksgiving, give someone else something to be thankful for too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Wish you all happy Thanksgiving. Go and show God's love this week. Weep for what God weeps for. Be joyful in the things that God is joyful for. Amen.